Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and happy Halloween early, one day from Halloween. And we'll have the happy trick-or-treaters at our doors, or, well, if you'd like to dress up, well, pass Halloween. Maybe you pass it with your kids. But then, well, anyway, happy Halloween to everybody who's listening. And, yeah, Halloween is a big thing with me and my family. So, yeah, so we have a lot of brevities on the board, your wonderful brevities. We're celebrating Halloween tonight, and before we get into the Halloween brevities, we have one carryover from the autumn contest, so we'll be doing that one, and then we'll be getting into Halloween, and hello, Miriam and Debbie are on with us. And hello, Ed and Diane. Are you guys there, my wonderful co-hosts?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Ed. How are you tonight?
Good, Naomi. How are you?
Oh, doing good. I have my candles lit and all spooky and and orange lanterns and all feeling all Halloweeny. And Diane, how are you doing?
Hello, my friends. How are we doing?
We're doing good. And you?
Oh, I'm doing a little bit fantastic and a little bit crappy, but in the middle, I found a balance.
Okay. Well, we'll cheer you up.
All right.
We'll try at least. And hello, Miriam. How are you doing, my dear? Oops. I'm having trouble hearing you, Miriam. Are you on mute or something, or
that would
maybe
do
your
it.
Microphone?
Can
hello?
You hear me now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm doing
how
all
are
right
you doing?
After an awful week. Okay,
yeah,
tonight.
Hey, you were in the hospital, I heard.
I was. And then yesterday I was falling. But I'm doing better tonight.
Okay. Well, you just sit still. We don't want you to fall.
Okay.
We don't want you falling on us. And Debbie. Pardon me?
I was going to say to Miriam, just in case we hear a thump on the radio, what's your address?
I'm in Alexandria, Virginia.
And Debbie, how are you doing tonight, my dear?
I'm fine. How's everyone tonight?
We're doing
great.
Good.
Cool.
You're all ready for... All ready for some Halloween joy?
Oh, no. I am too old for that nonsense. I live out in the country. Nobody's going to knock on my door. I'm good. I'm totally good. Got me a bag of Reese's, and I'm on my way.
Oh, my gracious, I get like 400 kids that come by my house every year.
Oh, my goodness.
So I did like 400, over 400 treat bags I filled like in the last couple of weeks. Oh, my gracious, you know, I have to do treat bags. I put like 3 candies in each bag because I'd go bankrupt otherwise.
No,
so
God.
I put in like, it's like, you know, it's just to have they pass from 3, no, from 4 to 7. And it's like, you know, those 3 hours I'm outside, like snow, rain, wind, cold. I don't have time to step inside at all. It's just like a parade down my road, you know. Never ending parade of kids. And so for those 3 hours, I'm standing outside just giving out candies. But it's so much fun. I really enjoy it.
You have to do what
Sorry.
I do. I put a sign on my door, and it says, I'm a compulsive eater. All the treats are gone.
I love that one. I've never heard of that one. That's good. That
oh, my gracious. So funny. So are you guys ready for our first brevity? We're going to do the autumn one, and then we'll get into the Halloween stuff. Yeah. And Diane, whenever, oh my gracious, you're quick. You're faster than me. So, yeah, go ahead. Do your thing, Diane.
You betcha. Just on the ball, on a sugar high, maybe. No. Okay. Our first is Forever Autumn by T. Perry, 898. And let's start with Mr. Ed. Is Ed on with us? He is, isn't he?
Oh, yes, I'm
yeah,
there.
He is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I posted it in both groups just for you, Ed.
Yes, I got it. I got it. And here we go, Forever Autumn. Now the summer sun is setting. Autumn whispers on the breeze. Golden leaves are raining softly. From the branches of the trees, birds ascending to the heaven. Journey south for warmer climes. Squirrels are toppling up their larders for the cold of winter time. Pearly cobwebs hang suspended. Halloween shall bare her teeth. Jack Frost makes a guest appearance on September's golden wreath. Harvest festivals are flowing. Bumper crops, they shall ensue. Magic sunsets will endeavor to dissolve the winter blues. End poem.
Wow, awesome read there, Ed. My gracious, that was beautiful. And, yeah, Jack Frost makes a guest appearance. I woke up this morning to, like, I don't know, you know, a couple of centimeters of snow. It snowed till about dinner time. What about you, Diane, no, back there in Western Canada? Did you get snow today?
Yeah, we got our first snowfall, while I'm at it, I'm going to comment on this amazing brevity. We did
yeah.
get our first snowfall, and we did get Forever Autumn, just like this is described here, with the golden leaves are raining softly from the branches of the trees. Pearly cobwebs hang suspended. Halloween shall bare her teeth. Just captures every aspect of autumn and Halloween and what's gone by and what's coming up. Just a wonderful brevity. Very well done, and thank you for sharing.
Oh, indeed. I really love this. You know, the squirrels are topping up their larders for the cold
yep.
of winter time. That's so neat. I really love the imagery throughout this amazing, amazing brevity. What did you think, Debbie?
I thought it was beautiful. The last three lines just set the whole entire poem aside from most. The bumper crops, they shall ensue. Magic sunsets will endeavor to dissolve the winter blues. You know, the sun does dissolve the winter blues, but it's still cold.
mm-hmm.
But this is
yeah.
beautifully written. Very beautifully written. Wonderful job.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I have to take vitamin D in the winter. They prescribe it to me. Yeah. And what about you, Miriam? And what did you think of the poem?
I really enjoyed the way there's a different image in almost every line. So that makes the poem very rich. And also I noticed that the poem begins and ends in sunset, so it's really nicely framed that way.
Mm.
And, of course,
that
the form
true.
Of the poem is just beautiful. I always have to mention that. I like free verse and rhyme and meter. Just well done. I like them both really well. And this is just really well done, the rhyme and meter. Very beautiful.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Miriam. And what about you, Ed? You read the piece. What did you think of it?
I thought it was very real, okay, with the imagery and the metaphors. It started with summer, ending the winter. What I really liked in the second part of the stanza, the beginning, is pearly cobwebs hang suspended. I don't know if many people have seen that in the cold or during the frost of what that looks like, but it's pretty amazing seeing these webs glow, as you would say, in the woods from the frost. And but every line here is unique because it explains going through the times of how the earth is, how everything moves, the climates. Very, very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, wonderful comment. Yeah, and I can just see those cobwebs. wonderful comment, Ed. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Well, up next we have Hide and Seek by Jim of Earth. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. Hide and Seek. I made my bones with wide eyes shut, sharpened my tongue to make the cut. Time runs short, 1, 2, 3. I can see you, but can you feel me? Pick your spot, dig in deeper. One last chance to beat the reaper. Hold your breath before I peek. This game is lost of hide and seek. You played well, gave your best. In tired bones, we finally rest. End poem.
I really like this poem. I don't know that I didn't even see until you read it. I didn't even realize it rhymed. Bad me. But you know, it was so well written with a thought. I thought in each little stanza there. You know, it had like a thought leaning towards death, and you know how you can't escape that game of hide and seek, or that game of peekaboo with death. And you know, I just like this, the whole thought of the poem, you know, the message of the poem, and the way he used words to illustrate it so well. I don't know. It's just something about this poem that really stood out to me, and I just loved it. You know, Jim of Earth. This, I don't know if he's written before for our contests or if you know he's new. I think I saw him before, but anyway, you know, if you are new at Jim of Earth, please, you know, write again, because, you know, I this is absolutely amazing. And what did you think, Ed, of the poem?
Oh, it was great. The first, the rhythm and rhyming flowed very nicely. The first stanza gets the reader into wanting more, especially the sharpened my tongue to make the cut. That gets you to wanting to read more and see what's going on into the story. And the fourth stanza, I thought, goes well with the picture. Hold your breath before I peek. This game is lost of hide and seek. I thought that goes well with the photograph. All around, I thought he did a great job with this poem.
Oh yeah, for sure. This was my gold winner. So I don't know. I just fell in love with this brevity. What did you think, Miriam?
I think it's a very enjoyable poem. It's got the contrast there with the skeleton. I made my bones with wide eyes shut, etc. And then. At the same time, there's a feeling of an actual game of hide and seek with the children playing. Somebody loses, but you played well, and then they finally wear themselves out and get to rest. So a nice contrast. And also, it was full of questions. Not just, but can you feel me? Not question marks, but just, where is this going? And what is this about? And I have learned to enjoy that kind of poem. I don't have to understand it the first time.
I know what you mean. Yeah, that, you know, that's what captivates me in a poem. Actually, it's, you know, when I question, when I question myself, and you know, it can go in different directions. Like you mentioned, Miriam, like it can be, you know, the game, the actual game of hide and seek, you know, that children play, or it could be, you know, death calling. That final rest, you know, when you put you to rest, or when you die. So yeah, it can be read in different ways. What did you think, Debbie?
Oh man, the only thing that is missing here is the Grim Reaper itself. Pick your spot, dig in deeper, one last chance to beat the Reaper. You know, that's just one thing we can't do is beat death. There's always going to be that. There's no question in it. And so with that, you know, we finally rest. And that's kind of what I gathered from this. It, you know, and that's the whole essence of Halloween, you know, is to, you know, wait a minute here. So I just loved it. It was just a lovely, lovely piece, cleverly written, very cleverly written.
Absolutely, yeah. And Diane, my dear.
Well, you know what? I really enjoyed this. I'm glad that it took an award and gold at that. It gave me a feeling of dancing with death in the graveyards, darting behind trees and gravestones and stuff, and playing hide and seek and peekaboo with the Grim Reaper. And finally, you lose, because the game of hide and seek is lost. It's over, and you meet the Reaper, and you played well. You gave your best, and in tired bones, we finally rest. It's like the end of time for the person, and the rhyme and meter was so wonderful in it. You know, it made it easy on the ears. It flowed quite nicely and brilliant, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It was so effortless, wasn't it? It's as if he didn't even, you know, it wasn't even forced. It just flowed so beautifully down the page. Indeed. And I like that comment a lot, Diane, of, you know, just being, you know, just being calm and just, you know, that playing with death there and going away peaceful because you did all that you could. A wonderful comment. And what will be up next, Diane?
Up next, we have a write by one of our regulars. Ima Rima wrote Peekaboo. And Miriam, would you like to give that a read?
Oh, hang on a sec. I'll see if I can find it. There, got it. Peekaboo. Now that I'm stuck on graveyard shift, I try to keep from getting bored. Often in the night, I need a lift, so I dig out from where I'm stored and stroll about in time and place. These old bones still get me around. Now retired from the human race, and home now, just a plot of ground. Walking, I watch for anyone, like kids, or drunks, or both, who'd be good prospects for this skeleton to scare to hell when they see me. There's nothing more fun than to do with a passerby peekaboo.
Oh, that was such a delightful read, Miriam. And, you know, I just love this poem from how do you pronounce her name? Ima?
Ima Rima.
Ima Rima. That's it. And, yeah, I liked it so much. You know what I found so interesting about this is the idea of a skeleton working the graveyard shift. I found that so, so witty and so clever. I just love this. And the way she goes, I try to keep from getting bored. You know, he's underneath the ground there in a grave. And, you know, yeah, of course, he's trying to keep from getting bored, you know, and he comes out that, you know, to scare the people. I thought it was so witty, so clever, this right. What did you think, Debbie?
Oh, it reminds me of when my children were young and, you know, you go trick-or-treating and there'd be one house. Yeah, one will be light on, you know, so, yeah, they're going to trick-or-treat there, and then something, you know, jumps out at them. And so there's nothing more fun than to do with a passerby peekaboo, you know, and seeing them so scared. And that's kind of what this reminded me of, and I loved it. I just loved it. You know, the imagery all the way around is really, really well written.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, wonderful comment, Debbie. And Miriam, you read it. What did you think, my dear?
This was very difficult to read because I kept starting to laugh, especially those. Now that I'm stuck on a graveyard shift, I try to keep from getting bored. And then it goes into this crazy thing about walking around. And this is obviously a dead person. And just a plot of ground. And then it goes into peekaboo and wanting to jump out and scare people. It's just a game. Oh, I love it. And also, I'm a big fan of near rhyme and feminine rhyme. And that anyone rhymed with skeleton. Oh, I just love that. That's great.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment. And Ed, what did you think of this write?
It was an enjoyable read. Like kids or drunks or both who be. That kind of reminds me of going to the cemetery at night on Halloween, which a bunch of us kids would go do. And that's basically what you would think of this ghost or skeleton coming out of the grave, walking the night and to scare the hell out of you. So I thought this was done very well for coming out of the ground and doing a peekaboo.
Absolutely. And some well said there. And who didn't I ask? Diane, what did you think, my dear?
Well, I noticed you gave this one the silver, and well deserved. It was it this one or no? Yeah, it was this
yeah,
one. You gave
yeah.
the silver, and very much well deserved. Really clever. Somebody said that. And Miriam, by the way, you read this beautifully. I imagine it was tough not to laugh reading this because I was, as you were reading it, especially when you got to the part, off in the night I need a lift so I dig out from where I'm stored. Like, we're just human pieces stored in these grave sites around it. And I just love the theme that we're following here. I think we're going to have a night of dancing in the graveyard with death, and this just fell right into place with the last rite, and awesome theme and really well written to the theme. Excellent rhyming as well.
Absolutely. It's so funny, eh? These old bones still get me around, now retired from the human race and home. Now just a plot of ground. You know, you just see them, those bones, those old rickety bones just drifting through the graveyard around. Yeah, I laughed when I read this. So well done by Ima Rima. For sure. And what will be our next rite, Diane?
And next we have, it's called Eric at the Bus Stop by Dark Night of the Soul. And Debbie, would you like to give that a read for us?
Sure. Eric at the Bus Stop. Eric waited at the bus stop. The clock stuck on 8:14, October 6, 2002. But I imagine him waiting for a ride to second grade. Eric waited for the bus that never came. He had best friends, Sinead, Melinda, Jimmy, in those innocent school days. Friends in truth, he never did meet or see. But in my mind, I like it to be. Eric dressed up every Halloween and had a big sweet tooth like me. That's the story I want to write. Not that he died in my sister's arms. His mother on his birthday, October 6, 2002. Doctors called it a blessing with a laundry list of health problems. He lived within what would be a very short life. Blessings can still shatter. So Eric never made it, made that bus ride, nor any in all of his too brief life. But sometimes I picture him waiting at that stop on Country Route 107, where his brothers waited before him and waving to me, saying, "Hi, Uncle," the everyday joys and disappointments of a boy. Wow.
Yeah, this was a really heartfelt write, you know, by a dark night of the soul. And, you know, he writes about his nephew, Eric. He's written different pieces, but like he says in his AN, I've written pieces of my various nephews over the year. Okay, but never the story of one who passed, Eric. I saw this image for the contest and thought of giving him a story. He lived for only a day. I never got to see him except in pictures. The friends in this poem are children who died young and were referenced in prior poems. So, yeah, this is really heartfelt. And, I really, you know, it really touched me, you know. It must be an awful, you know, it must be awfully hard for the parents and the family, you know, when that happens, when your child is born and they get to live only for a few hours. And, you know, it must be very hard. What did you think, Ed?
Well, it was very emotional and a sorrowful write, especially because this is a true real-life story. And basically, we don't know how that person really feels. And he's putting these words together and explaining how this happens. And we can feel it in our heart, the emotion that he has in these words. And it's very sorrowful, and it's very very heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's about all I could say, because he put his best effort into this little baby that passed away, and mm-hmm. he did a wonderful job.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Miriam, of the piece?
Well, Halloween comes into the poem, but the part that really strikes me is, of course, the death of the little boy and, you know, what the doctors say. People don't know what to say when you talk to someone who lost, well, particularly a child. It can be just awful. And I lost a child He only lived 15 minutes. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, some people can just say the most awful things. And there was one person who told me that it was really a blessing. I wanted to sock him. I didn't, but yeah, they want to make, they want to find something good about it, and there really isn't, at least in that moment. So I think this, that aspect of the poem was very, very well said. And you know, if you don't know what to say, sometimes it's best to just say that. You know, just to say, I don't have any words.
Mhm. Yeah. And like you said, yeah, various blessings can still shatter, and yeah, that, you know, they can. And that was a great, great comment and a great advice, Miriam. And
thank you.
What did you think, Diana? This poem.
You know what? Another amazing write by Dark Knight of the Soul. Always awesome writes here. And, you know, he wrote this, he wrote his truth here, and he told a story that would have been had Eric made it past his one day of life. And he wrote the story as he imagined Eric would be with friends and dressing up every Halloween with a sweet tooth and everything. And when a writer writes their truth into a poem like this, it gives it a different element of emotion, and it calls me. It strikes me differently. And I just love this, right? And I noticed, again, you gave this the bronze, and for sure, well-deserved bronze. And thank you very much for sharing this.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Diane. And Debbie, your thoughts.
I want to first apologize to Miriam for your loss. Myself, I lost a set of twin granddaughters almost a year ago that they had various health problems. They only lived hours. And so I know this feeling as Miriam. It's a very heavy, heavy feeling. And there are no words. There are absolutely no words. And this was a wonderful, wonderful ride. Very emotional. It took me a minute to kind of gather myself just to be able to read all of it. So I loved it. Great job, Dark Knight.
Absolutely, yeah. My condolences. Oh, I can't say that word. I couldn't say it last show. I can't say it this show. So I just want to say my prayers are with your, you know, my sympathies for losing children. I can't even imagine. Miriam said, I have no words. I just have no words. And I am sorry for both of you. I never lost a child. I don't know what that feels like, but, you know, that must be an awful feeling. And, so what is our next write, Diane?
Okay, I'm going to post the next write. It's called When Finding His Lover in Bed with Another, He Paints Her Red by Mandy42. And I'm going to ask you to read that one, Naomi, and I'm going to pop out for a few seconds, and I'll be back.
Okay, Diane, no problem. Okay, so by Mandy42, this is, who set the scene in front of me that's rendered red? How could it be this deed I've done? This deed? I doubt. Could I have made my sweetheart spout? A geezer fails to disagree. Perhaps my lover tried to flee, enrapturing my ghastly spree. Regret be silent in my shout. Who set the scene in front of me? The streaming splatters, crimson keys, the shameless scent of he, of she. I see the butchered strewn about. Any my ministrations were devout. And now the toll climbs 2 to 3. I am the scene in front of me. And poem. what a wonderful write by Mandy. Oh my gracious, she gets me every time. This was so brilliantly written to that prompt, to that monster, you know, hovering over this man. What did you think of the write, Ed?
Well, first, you did an excellent job reading it. I think Nice and Slow with the breaks was wonderful. And I'll tell you, this was something that a lot of people can relate to. It's very different from the usual Halloween story. It was well done with the story of how could you say it, of a murder, or especially a dark, deep memory or something that they had to climb out of, or that they're living with through their whole life. It's an unusual rite, but it's very true in a lot of aspects.
Mhm. Yeah, I think awesome comment there. When finding his lover in bed with another, he paints her red. Yeah, he you know, he cheated on his wife and he painted her red, I guess. You know, he committed adultery and so now he's haunted, you know, by it, or she's haunted by it. I'm going to let you comment on this, Miriam. What are your thoughts?
Right from the beginning, couple of lines, just began to dawn on me what the red paint was. This is a very gruesome poem, but I had the feeling there was a little twist of humor in it. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to admit that I enjoyed it, but I did. And I kind of hope the murderer gets caught, because, you know, it's just so gruesome, chopping them up. No, that's over the top. The murderer should be jailed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, you get it that, yeah, I see the butcher strewn about. Yeah, okay, yeah, I see that now. I didn't see that before.
Oh, dear.
I saw it as like more a metaphor, like a psychological trauma that, you know, she was butchered, you know, psychologically or... but yeah, you can take it literally too, I guess. Yeah, I see that. And then Debbie, what are your thoughts?
I just wonder if this wasn't a murder-suicide kind of thing, because it said, mm-hmm. And now the toll climbs 2 to 3, and I am the sea. So, you know, it's his lover and her lover, but then again, that's only 2. So now it's 2 to 3. And so I just wonder if that's not where he was going with this. But it is a wonderful ride. Very Halloween.
Yeah, an excellent dark ride, isn't it? An excellent tale told. You know, a whole story, really, a whole dark story told in just a few words. My gracious, excellently done for sure. And Diane, are you back with us, my dear?
Yes, my friend, I am back. And I love, I always get Debbie's and Miriam's voices mixed up. And if I don't catch the name, I never know. But whoever shared last, I think you caught it spot on with the murder-suicide, because I was reading it myself, and who set the scene in front of me that's rendered red? How could it be? Blood, right? There, and the geyser fails to disagree. Could I have made my sweetheart spout the blood gushing out everywhere and set the scene in front of the murderer, and then my lover tried to flee and capturing my ghastly spree, and then, yes, the three, 2 to 3, the death toll climbs, and I am the scene in front of me became the suicide. And just a wonderful dark right and excellent for our dark right poetry. Just beautiful, beautifully done for a dark right.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderfully done. Thank you so much, Mandy, for sharing that with us. It's just excellent. And what do we have next, Diane?
Okay, up next we have This Train by Ruth M. Martz. And Ed, I'm just putting it into Late Night Poets now, and if you could give this one a read for us.
Okay, I have it. Ride this train. Ride this ghost train. Dark, scary destination. Have no speculation where you end up. It continues on, clacking down rails, long believed gone. No, this train goes to eternity. Spirits get on each day, few get off, stuck in the spell queller. Death, the engineer decides when and where. Fear, the fireman determines how hot and quick the train steams down the track. The conductor already knows whose ticket's been punched, simply waits. Step on board with the hordes. There are plenty of seats. Let go. Enjoy the ride. Worry about nothing. Devil's on your side. You already knew that. End poem.
Oh, and wonderful, wonderful read there, Ed. And, you know, what an awesome write. You know, I have to say, this contest had so many wonderful writes that, you know, I didn't know who to give, you know. Even gold, silver, bronze was like I was, you know, I took like, yeah, it took me a whole day. I mean, you know, it's like I didn't know, you know. It's just like, it was so, so hard to judge. And this is another awesome, awesome poem, you know, that really nice dark write, wonderful brevity, a wonderful illustration of this voyage we all face one day. And, you know, sitting beside you, the devil on your side. You already knew that. I just love that ending, you know. What did you think, Debbie?
It was again, you know, they know when our ticket is punched, the engineered side. And so that's another, you know, that, you know, look, we can't cheat death. And that's, you know, devil's on your side. And so that's kind of, you know, where I went with this one. But the imagery, and you can see the train clacking down the rails.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the steam, just, you know, and I just loved it. It was just a very, very excellent write. Great job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The imagery is just amazing. You know, like you said, clacking down the rails, the steam, you can almost hear the horn. The horn, you know, the whistle. It's a whistle on a train, yeah. You almost hear that whistling, you know, the train clickety-clacking down the rail. So true. And what did you think, Miriam?
Well, I was enjoying, this is a poem about a train taking people to their death. And then the further down I got, I realized it was actually not only that, but the train is taking them to hell. But that's the way
yeah.
I get it. Take it down to the last line. Devil's on your side. You know what? I would not count on that. Why is it serious matter? But the expression of it is really funny. So, you know, three cheers for this thing is really good.
Oh, yeah. Amazing comment there, Tom and Miriam. And Ed, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was very unique, and this could be a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the way everything went, this imagination, all these people going into this train, they did something wrong in their life or whatever, and now they're going to have to suffer on this train going to hell. And this would be a good movie out there. I enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. This would make a good scenario for a movie. Yeah. You'd have all these people live, you know, it would be a great horror movie. Then you just have the death, the reaper there, you know, picking them, forking them through one by one, dragging them onto the train. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, I enjoyed this, but you know what caught me most on this one, Naomi, was your comment on this one. An awesome rite that illustrates well the voyage we will all face one day. And that caught me because, you know, I like most people, I think of death and what death. And Ruth, I'm sorry, she captures this in this piece, having no speculation where you end up. And that's how a lot of us think of death. It's like, I don't know where I'm going to be and what death has to offer. And I was talking to someone a while ago about death, and she said, are you scared of death? And I said, no, I embrace it because I don't know what's coming next, and it can't be much worse than what I have on life. And when it comes to the devil's on your side, I don't know about that. I've been told the devil would run from me. So I'm not sure the devil would be on my side in this case either. But death, it's an unexplained that gives questions in my mind all the time. I enjoyed this.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Wonderful comment, Diane. And where are you taking us next?
Next up, we have Halloween Hide and Seek by Star BG. And Debbie, would you give that a read for us?
Sure. Halloween Hide and Seek. And so the count goes on, 525,949 minutes. Ready or not, your Skeletor comes. Yes, goblins and ghouls hunt in Ferguson's graveyard begin. Zombie spirits, I can't pronounce that word, be found behind tombstone. Grotesque mummy found inside the dead tree. Dracula found hanging from a high branch. Shella of the dark was visiting friends. Frankenstein was located in an empty grave. And vicious werewolf was prancing about the yard's kennel. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Rest of you come out to strut your mutilated, monstrous selves. It be time to go trick or treating. Inform. And I apologize.
Well,
I could not pronounce that word or name.
What was zombie Berberti? Berberti?
Nobody's gonna try it.
Zombie Berberti, Berberti, or yeah, wonderful. We read Miriam, Debbie. I mean, yeah, I just love this. Clever and brilliantly thought out, and you know, enriched with amazing imagery throughout. What did you think, Diane?
Well, I'm noticing a trend here too with this image, this hide and seek image, and I love it. It's like, yeah, the hands are over the eyes, and we're playing hide and seek, and here, ready or not, here I come. And I love the flow, and I especially liked incorporating ollie ollie oxen free. I just love that. It's children in the graveyard on Halloween, you know, singing songs and dancing and singing this ollie ollie oxen free. It brought out even though it has this darkness to it, it made me smile. It gave me a smile. I very much enjoyed it.
Oh, that's a song, Ollie Ollie Oxenfree. I didn't even know that song. Oh my gracious! Okay, well that's one I you know, being French, you know, some things you don't know, but yeah. So thanks for enlightening me on that, Diane. And Debbie, what were your thoughts, my dear?
It's the same, you know. I can remember being a child, got my eyes covered, going ollie ollie oxen free, you know. And it was whimsical. It was flowed so well. I loved it. You know, the rest of you come out to strut your mutilated monstrous selves. You know, as a child, you got makeup on, you got costumes on, and that's what this reminded me of. You know, everybody out in the graveyard, like she said a while ago, going ha ha. You know, first one's it. So I just loved it. It was really fun. It was a fun read.
Thank you there, Debbie. Wonderful comment. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, as there are a number of ways to take this, first I read it as something really gruesome with the zombies, and it's this grotesque mummy, and he's got Dracula and all these awful people. And also at the very beginning, the 525,949 minutes, which he explains in the notes, is all year. And that's an awfully long time to be waiting. You're it, and you want to be fair, and you're counting and counting down and waiting to be able to go run around trying to find people. I don't think I could wait a year. Yeah, so I thought this as being a gruesome poem all the way down to the end, and I thought, wait a minute, there's another way to look at this. If it weren't for that part where he waits for a year, it could be about real children in their gruesome costumes. And then they go out trick-or-treating after that. So I'm left not being sure, and that's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, I took it in a fun way. I took it as a, you know, just everything that's around on Halloween night and is there to scare us. That's the way I took it. But, you know, wonderful imagery throughout. And you know, so clever that she used the 5,205,949 minutes. Because that's, you know, like you said, Miriam, that's how long a year is, like from one, how long that skeleton would be counting from one Halloween to the next as she puts in her AN. So it's pretty amazing, witty that she, you know, she incorporates that, thought of that, incorporates that into the poem. What did you think, Ed?
Well, I agree. You know, the first stanza was, once a year they're waiting for this time. And this was a crazy night of ghouls, ghosts, and goblins. And I liked how she used each type of a, how would you say, a ghoul or a goblin or ghost like Dracula for each line. And I had to look up Shelob of the Dark, was in the crypt visiting friends. And that is a spider, a giant spider. So I looked that up, and I thought that was very creative and enjoyable, how she incorporated each thing or animal or vicious person or, you know. And I enjoyed reading it, and I thought it would be a great storytelling at night with young kids.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. Wonderful comment there, Ed. And where are we going next, Diane? Did I ask you to comment, Diane?
Yes, my dear, you did. Yep.
Okay, you did. I did. Okay.
And next up, we have Death Becomes Us All by our friend Jenny DeBeat. And I'll go ahead and give this a read. Death becomes us all. You can't fret what you don't see. So close your eyes and take your last breath. Under the twilight sky, death patiently awaits. In this world so frail, we are all going mad. Drinking envy's poison, we fall to our demons. As they watch front row at insanity's table. Haunted by our own sinister ghosts, we are led to decay in complete darkness. Decomposing 6 feet underground. Punctured chests weakly rise, sinking again as throbbing heads profusely sweat blood. Desperate hands reach up for an escape, but crumbling down, filling lungs is dirt instead. End poem.
Oh, wonderful read there. But I just see those desperate hands, you know, reaching up through the dirt, you know, and the lungs, you know, filling up with dirt and just drowning there. Oh, wonderful dark ride, Jenny, my gracious. What did you think, Ed?
Well, at first I liked the last stanza, and then when you start reading it a couple times, I started thinking about the second stanza, and it's, in this world so frail, we are all going mad. Drinking envy's poison, we fall to our demons as they watch front row at insanity's table. That's like, I feel like that's happening to us right now. It's like she brought this out in this second stanza of what's going on with the world, you know, and it's kind of scary, you know.
Yeah.
How frail we are and fragile. And some of these people all over the world are going mad, you know, and it's like she brought this out in that second stanza. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very, very well put into the poem, incorporated into the poem. Yeah, absolutely. You're right there, Ed. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I would say that I'm rather familiar with Jenny DeBeat's poetry. And I had to look up again, see who wrote this, and I just couldn't believe it. This is not poetry. Punctured chest, weakly rise. Oh, this is awful. This is horrible. Very, very well.
Yeah, you know, these poets, I always get surprised too, you know, when you, because Jenny, I see her in, you know, all the, like, she enters every contest that's out there, you know, of mine, and I see her in so many different styles and genres And, you know, yeah, me too. You know, see her so gruesome. Yeah, I was like, oh, she can write. This girl can write. She can write anything. And that's just amazing. And, Debbie, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Ed in the second stanza. I've also read it, sure, three times, maybe more. I mean, it is so true to life. But yet, you know, there is the fake to it. But that stanza alone, I mean, the world in whole right now is just at fingertips, you know, and insanity's table. That's where we all sit right now. And, you know, scratching our heads like, what in the hell are we going to do now? And so I loved it. I loved it, loved it. The imagery throughout was really, really well done. And so I loved it. I did. I loved it. Great job.
Wonderful comment. And Diane, what did you think, my dear?
Well, I like what Miriam said. You know, this is awful. And I totally agree, but it's a brilliant awful. And I'm kind of having a love-hate relationship with this piece of writing because I don't want to accept it. I don't want to believe in it. And in, even in the first stanza where it says death patiently awaits, that kind of ticked me off. I'm like, well, that's mighty nice of you, death. And, you know, it's like this piece of writing that describes what's going to happen to us and everything. I don't want to accept that. And then I finally get to a place of, well, I don't really care. I'm dead. So it just brought out a lot in me. It brought out this, it tickled my senses of reading this. It was brilliantly written and really well done. As awful as it is, it is as good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful comment there, Diane. And what will be our next write?
Well, up next we have, I'm just backing up here, we have October 22nd by Ken Smith. And I think I asked, who did I ask, Debbie or Miriam? Read last.
Debbie, I think.
Okay.
Was it?
Then I'll get Miriam to read this one for us.
Okay, it's October 22nd. Day of your birth, you passed in your 63rd year, 18 months short of your retirement. When you were to give it all up, give up the ghost. There is a steel barrel rim on a spot in your country yard, black, your name engraved on it, where orange flames flicker through the letters of your name, a bright orange tongue from the mouth of a ghost will speak and bring you back as we gather round the stones that hold your flashing orange heat. Come Halloween, brother. And poem.
What a wonderful read there, Miriam. And, you know, another heartfelt write, you know, it's really touching. You know, it's so well written, my gracious, and you know, so well expressed and just like I said, you know, just heartbreaking piece. What did you think, Ed?
I thought it was very emotional. I told him that he brought out wonderful memories, that not to dwell on it, but to think of the good things that that happened with both of them together. You know, you could see the picture, how he's thinking, and he has a broken heart on that picture while he's drawing or writing something. And he did a very excellent job on and telling this story of this, I think it was his brother. Yeah. And he died at a young age, you know, short of retirement. And I thought this was very, very well done, and just to have them think of the good things that they did together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said there, Ed. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, I enjoyed this piece. I mean, it was sad. It's a sad tale. And, you know, to start out with passing away on the day of your birth, on your birthday, it's you know, that's 18 months short of retirement, robbed of all you've worked for all your life, and robbed of the time to let it all go and to give it all up and to rest. And to rest in this way is, you know, it's sad that the person, the main character here did pass on the day of his birth and loses everything that they have lived for. And for the brother, yes, come Halloween, brother, and what a time of year to pass on your birthday in Halloween. Just well written and a sad story for sure.
Absolutely. And Debbie had to step away, but are you back, Debbie?
Yep, I'm back.
Okay. So your comment, my dear.
A bright orange tongue from the mouth of a ghost. I mean, that's kind of gruesome in itself, but it's comforting because this is remembering. Yeah, and we'll speak and bring you back as we gather around the stones. You know, that standing in front of tombstones going, hey, brother, you know, we still love you. We're still here. We still think about you. And so I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was just an excellent, sad, very sad, but it was beautiful.
Yeah, was indeed. Thank you so much, Debbie, for your comment. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Okay, up next we have Temporal Trust by K.F. Cartless. And Naomi, it's another one of the image of the hide-and-seek image. Would you like to get that a read?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that image really caught on, I'm telling you. Temporal Trust. I cannot see through my own mask of jointed phalanges. Phalanges? Exposed in my own dusk, blood and skin, gender and religion, all rust. What is buried in each of us? I am frightened of its revelation. Bone to bone, genetic relatives, terrified of each other's skeletons, our souls forsaken. Traitors reflect facts, not guts, that we are all just protein, collagen, and calcified dust, resisting breaking. End poem. And you know what an amazing, thought-provoking write. Oh my gracious, this is so profound. What did you think, Diane?
This is a brilliant write, Temporal Trust. Exposed in my own dust, blood and skin, gender and religion, all rust. It encompasses what we are in life and what we are not and what is buried in each of us. I am frightened of its revelation, bone to bone. Just it's another one of those that I don't want to accept, but it's true. Calcified dust is what we are and what we become. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts or other way to look at that except that absolutely that's what we all come to be. And it's just a brilliant write about the, you know, what we are and it should bring about a fear in most of us, but it doesn't for me because it says the truth and I believe in the truth. It's a great write.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Diane. And you, Debbie, what are your thoughts, my dear?
Again, it's, you know, trying to outlive what we're not supposed to. still reflects facts and not gut. You know, I've had so many family members and friends that, hey, if I had the willpower, they would still be here. And but we're all just protein, collagen, and calcified dust. It's just a wonderful, wonderful written piece. I loved it. I did. Great job.
Absolutely. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear?
Well, I find this the darkest rite that we have read so far. It is physical. It's true, except I hope we're not really terrified of each other's skeletons. That would really be sad. And maybe the poet is, but I've never thought of it that way. I can tell you that when I was little, somebody must have told me about bones. And first I thought that I pictured a human being as having one big bone, and one big thick fat bone, very short. And later on, I pictured a human being as being full of lots of bones, but they were all floating around. It was a while before I understood about a skeleton, but I never felt afraid, and maybe that's just me. But I feel sorry for this poet if they really believe that, if they really find the skeletons of their relatives frightening. Really sad.
And, but you know, maybe bone to bone genetic relatives terrified of each other's skeletons, our souls forsaking. Yeah, there is something, you know, in that stanza that is, you know, very, you know, thought provoking. And I agree with you there, Miriam. And scary at the same time, you know, and dark, very dark. And what did you think, Ed?
The first two stanzas, I think, relate to everyone's life. And as you were saying about bone-to-bone genetic relatives, you could think about how some relations, they fight. They don't get along like they used to. And then the last one, craniums reflect fact, and that's what they're seeing. They're seeing what's happening in their mind, and is it rotting them? Is it making them, you know, calcified the dust, you know, because of all that he said in here. And I think a little bit of each stanza, if you think about it deep, it's happened to almost everyone, from relatives to the revelations of what may happen, gender and religion, gone to rust, meaning corroding. It's happening every day. This is very truthful and scary, right, if you think about it.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing comment there. Yeah, like I said, very thought-provoking, right? It really makes you, you know, sit down and think, you know, about the success, about society today, and, you know, all the, you know, prejudice that goes on, and the fighting between us and between countries, between religions, between, you know, all humankind, and how, you know, the world is just out of sync, I think. And a very, very well put together piece by K.F. Heartless here. Wonderfully done. And what is our next piece going to be, Diane?
Well, first I have to comment on what you just said about the society.
No problem.
Somebody said to me the other day, society is horrible. And I just looked at her and I said, you are society. Right.
That's true.
But, yes, up next we have a piece called One Rip-Roaring Beast by Doc. And, Ed, would you like to give that a read?
Sure. As soon as I see it up.
It should be popping up there right away.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Oh, this is a short one. One Rip-Roaring Feast with the teddy bear twee and the coffin-sized wee. No corpse within the graveyard rests in peace till maggots munching on its innards cease.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gracious. Oh, yes. You know, oh, boy. You know, he starts with something so heartbreaking almost with the teddy bear twee and the coffin size wee, like a child there lying in a coffin. And then he goes into no corpses in the graveyard rest in peace till maggots munching on its innards cease. So the juxtaposition of the two, oh my gracious, it's like, oh, it just renders the second part so much more like terrifying and ooey, you know, and eerie in a way, you know. What did you think, Miriam?
I don't know his real name, but I have to say that this poet is very, very good. His form is always impeccable, and he's very, very good at brevity. And this is the kind of brevity that is so packed. I had to read it several times to even get a clue what he's talking about. And I think what he means in the couplet is that it's not until we're skeletons that we really experience peace. So even after death, there's life going on that's going to be bothering us. And as for the first line, I didn't get that until somebody said it, that this is talking about the coffin of a child. So in its own way, this is gripping and heart-wrenching and gruesome all at the same time.
Absolutely. Very powerful few words. My gracious. Yeah. Awesome comment, Miriam. Like you said, this poet, he really chooses his words really, you know, to make them really count, each one count. What did you think, Debbie?
I kind of thought of it as ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know, mm-hmm. No corpse within the graveyard rests in peace until maggots munching on its innards cease. You know, we are brought into this world with nothing, and we are going out with nothing. And that's kind of what I thought of. That may not be where they were going with it, but I just, it kind of gives me chills. You know, I had read that here, read it more than once. And I just, it just kind of, it's a powerful, powerful write. And great job.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Debbie. And what are your thoughts, Diane?
Well, my thoughts, Naomi, is, after this contest that we have going here in front of us, if I wasn't sold on cremation, I pretty much am now. I don't know that I want maggots munching on my innards. I would prefer that I be dust as dust be dust. And that's my hope to go out, because this, but one rip-roaring beast, I mean, the title says it all. And then in 25 words, it says exactly what's going to happen to those of us that don't rest in peace until the maggots have done their job. It's just a a horrific rape, but very brilliantly written in brevity. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to be cremated. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I always have, but this idea enforces that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And where are we going next, Diane?
Well, up next we have a rite that's called That You Don't See by Flipsider. And Ed, I think, did I ask you to read the last one?
Yeah, you know what? Could I make one comment on the last one?
Oh, did I? Oh, sorry.
Yet.
Sorry, Ed.
Yeah, because I like to analyze some of these lines. You know, the first line with the teddy bear twee in the coffin size wee. The teddy bear, I'm thinking, is a baby because it's tiny. And the coffin size, the coffin size is tiny and the teddy bear is sweet, meaning it could be a child that's sweet and the coffin size is real tiny. And then the second one, you know, as we live, basically when we're dead, we're dead. But it's saying here, when we're finally gone, there's nothing left. But I think in reality, once you pass away, that's it. That you're just nothing, you know. You're just yeah, that first line, I'm trying to figure that out because a teddy bear, sweet. Twee is sweet. And the coffin size wee, which is tiny, you know, a small coffin. That's what I was thinking there. And it's an unusual poem.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It could be also that you get so tiny because the maggots have eaten you away. But then I don't know if you're very, you're sweet to the maggots anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, my gracious. What is our next poem, Diane?
Yeah, it's the maggots going trick-or-treating.
Yeah, that's it.
So next up, we have a rite by Flipsider, and it's called That You Don't See. And I don't know who I asked to read last. Who did I ask?
That was me, Ed.
Okay, then I'll ask Debbie if she would like to read this one.
That You Don't See by Flipsider. Who now do you fear, the demon before you, or fear what you don't know? Child before you holds the most fear. Beyond the hate of hell, your skin will be seared. Beware of all that you don't see. She awaits for you to blindly gaze her way.
Wonderful read. Wonderful read there, Debbie. And another deep thought-provoking write, I thought, you know, and a great take on that prompt. What did you think, Diane?
This was a, that you don't see. The title kicks off a question in my mind. What do you mean, what I don't see? Who now do you fear, the demon before you? And we don't see these things before death. I mean, yeah, like these things are part of death. And happy to say I don't care to see them until after death. And if I'm around the earth, I'm even able to comprehend it. But I just thought this was a dark rite, but well suited for the contest. Really well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Diane. And Ed, your thoughts?
I thought it was nicely written. It goes well with the photo. And there's some great questions there. I think the fear is not knowing. With everyone, not knowing what's going to happen. And you know, at the beginning, who now do you fear, you know, the demon before you, or fear what you don't know? I think that's the most, what we don't know. And it'll always be like that. It'll always be like that.
Absolutely. You know, the you're absolutely right. You know, the unknown is always scary. That's for sure. What did you think, Miriam?
I would like to get the opinion of the rest of those wonderful poets commenting with me. What is meant by the child before you holds the most to fear?
Well, maybe because the child before you is like the child, you know, when you're a child, you have all this unknown territory that you haven't explored yet. So in that way, we all have this child inside of us that, you know, is fearful of that unchartered world that's out there that exists beyond our knowledge. Maybe that's what I see.
Maybe so. Apart from those two lines, and then at the end, she waits for you to blindly gaze her way. And I'm looking at the picture. I can't enlarge it, unfortunately. And so I am figuring that the whole poem is about the picture. I mean, that's what the contest is about. And it looks like a monster looking at a little child. And maybe it's monster that is actually afraid of the child.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, I like that take, Miriam. Yeah, really. That's very insightful for sure. I can see that. Yeah, because the child is just as fearful, like unknown to the monster as the monster is to the child, you know. So yeah, great insight. And what did you think, Debbie?
David, he is a phenomenal writer. His poetry is just absolutely amazing. But the child before you holds the most fear. You know, as an adult, you know, we can see around them corners where a child can't. And so, you know, it says, beware of all that you don't see. You know, as adults, you know, we see a little bit more and we can go a little more beyond that. And so that's kind of what I got out of it. She waits for you to blindly gaze her way. You know, it's kind of, you know, like just kind of open your eyes. It's there. You just got to look a little harder. And that's kind of the way I gathered it. Amazing, right, David? Great job.
Absolutely. And I am lost here. Who did I ask? Who didn't I ask? Ed, did I ask you?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Diane, then?
Yeah, you asked me, girl.
Oh, okay. So we're on to the next right. Okay.
Okay, we're gonna put up some rights by our host now, and the first one is On Halloween the Ghost Convened by Miriam Kilmer. Miriam, would you like to read this one?
I would. First, I'd like to say a little bit about the illustration that I chose. The Buttonwood Summer is written by my grandmother, Aline Kilmer, and with false names, it's specifically about her children. And as I was writing this poem, I began to get in my mind this image of the illustration, which shows little children getting ready for trick-or-treating and their carving jack-o'-lanterns, and they thought, oh, wouldn't that be perfect? So I went and found it. On Halloween, the ghosts convene, contriving to be spooky, but I can see delighted eyes so shyly peeking out. Chocolates and lollipops are all they seek tonight. They're only children. Do not fear. They won't consume your soul. Those ghosts are wearing costumes, dear. They're only on the dole. End poem.
Aw. What a wonderful write. And wow. Oh, wow. I can't believe that that illustration is so beautiful. Did you inherit any of that artistic abilities, Miriam?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, did you inherit any of that artistic ability to draw like that?
I'm actually a visual artist first and a poet second.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. I can't say I inherited that because the illustration is by Sarah Clear, with no relation as far as I know. She just illustrated the book by my grandmother. But yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, okay. And the book was written by your grandmother. Okay, that one, now I get it. Ah, Naomi, come on. ADD here. Hyperactivity. I listen, but you know, I have to get, you know, I listen, but you know, have, but you know, falls apart. My gracious. Oh yeah, that is so neat. I just love that you put that image up, Miriam. Wow, that's awesome. Was it a long book or?
Actually, it is fairly long. I mean, each page is short, but it's a nice, thick book. And my husband is reading it to me right now, and it's really delightful. And he read the law, and that the book should be out of copyright. Gutenberg thinks it isn't, but as soon as they will accept it, I will put it for everybody to read.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amazing. And Debbie, your thoughts on Miriam's write?
This was such a sweet, sweet write. I love the chocolates and lollipops are all that they seek tonight. They're only children, do not fear. They won't consume your soul. I kind of disagree with that because when I had my children, they were my soul. As well, you know, they were my everything. So this right here, but it is just very, very sweetly written, very innocent, beautiful, right?
Absolutely. I love the chocolates and lollipops too. That's what I put in my treat bags, by the way. Chocolates and lollipops. and a stick of gum or a gum. Oh, boy. Wonderful, wonderful, right, Miriam? And Diane, what did you think of Miriam's beautiful poem?
Well, just before I comment on this awesome little poem here, I want to ask you, Naomi, do you do the treat bags too? Are you one of those who does the cute little treat bags?
Yeah, I do them, yeah, because Oh, yeah, I did 400, over 400.
I used to love going to houses and getting those little white bags with the orange and black ghosts on them and stuff. They were cool. Yeah. I would keep them and put my coins in them and stuff. They were the cutest little bags. But, you know, when I read this, Miriam, this is an awesome little piece. I just love it. It and the image, it fits so well. But I saw this as a, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm probably way off here, but I saw it as a little conversation between you and your other half. And you're just kind of reassuring them that that's okay. It's just little kids. peeping out. They're looking for chocolates and lollipops. That's all they want. So just relax, dear, because they're only on the dole. They're just doing what they do as little kids. And I just felt the warmth in this.
This is perfect.
And it just it gave my heart a warmth, because I felt the reassuring of one person to their significant other, and it was just very touching.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment there, Diane. And Ed, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was a wonderful poem with great words. Brings back memories as a kid of what Halloween was about, enjoying everything. You know, nothing was really scary. You know, it was all fun and games, and it was happy. And she brought this out in her words here. Very nice.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful comment. And did Debbie ask you to comment?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yeah, I did. Okay. So what will be our next poem, Diane?
Okay, up next I am going to pick on Ed. And Ed, you have a wonderful piece called Shades of Death Road.
Okay.
I-class Fafa check, I think. I'm not sure if that's part of the title. Let me double check that.
Yeah, that's
Shades
it.
Of Death
Shades
Road.
Of Death.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If
this
you
is,
would
that one. Basically a true story in some ways of where I live, and this road is south of where I live, about 40 miles. Here it goes, Shades of Death. Walking the road linking life and limbo is a theatrical experience seized by the audience. A loop running taut around his neck, darting across the road in a glowing apparition, sends shivers through your bones. Hazy white figures billowing, swirling, and surging for human blood. Slaves hanging in trees, crying out their innocence, shaking profusely while their bodies separate from their heads. Entombed in a forgotten forest, they look for their place to rest. Crashes destruction of the young partiers experience the truth at the Shades of Death Road. Poem.
Oh, wow. Oh, that sends shivers up and down my back. Oh, my gracious. So well told experience, Ed. I can just imagine. Oh, my gracious. I think I would go right off the road, right into a tree. Oh, boy. If I saw one of those, you know, those ghosts floating or something floating in front of my car. Oh, my gracious. What did you think, Miriam?
Oh, this is so tragic. I don't mean necessarily the poem itself, and this is true experience. Oh my God! Well, of course, it's historically true about the slaves and the other blacks being hung and otherwise horribly treated, and it's something that I actually can't think about without choking up. This is just very. Very, very well written, and congratulations, Ed. You really did a great job.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, all those injustices that were you know, done against this great people, and you know, just so you know, yeah, like so unjust, so horrible. What did you think, Debbie?
It sent chills up and down my body. Slaves hanging in trees, crying out for their innocence. I also live in a very
a similar place. And for this to be a true experience, I'd be running the other way. It is, wow, great, great job, Ed. Wonderfully written.
Thank you.
And great job on the gold.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's
wonderful.
That's a real picture of the road. I walked it at night just to see if anything would come out.
No. You go right ahead.
Oh, my gracious. What did you think, Diane?
I can't get by the first line here. You know, Kevin says in his tips on writing poetry and stuff, Kevin says, your first line should be your captivating line. And Ed, you so did this justice. Like, that first line, walking the road, linking life and limbo, is a theatrical experience seized by the audience. And you make this a theatrical experience. And looking at the image, you wonder as an audience, it's like, what's around that corner? What's there? And it is a walk between life and death and life and limbo. And death is in limbo. And I have to say, someone said a little earlier that a piece was our darkest right yet. Well, this was probably the darkest right to me. Very, very well done. You captured it all. You created a story, and you gave me a gift of your writing. Just exceptionally well done.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, and Ed does write real books, you know, about these experiences, guys, by the way. A little bit of advertisement for you, Ed.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, he has quite a few books out, guys, so check them out. And, so what will be our next write, Diane?
Okay, next we're going to go to another host of ours. It is called The Cat's Meow by Debbie. So, Debbie, would you give that one a read?
I sure will. Ooh, okay, there it is. The Cat's Meow. Green, a horrid green. Specks of various insect legs. Bubbling and gurgling almost in unison. Fire builds as dawn approaches. It will very soon be ready. One last ingredient awaits, the cat's meow. End poem.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Oh, I love that picture, by the way, that you chose. That cat looks like, oh, boy, one fang there hanging out and the eyes. Oh, my gracious. Oh, yeah, green, a horrid green. Specks of various insect legs. I just love that. Oh, boy. I love your imagery all throughout this poem. And, you know, of course, the finale, you know, last ingredient awaits the cat's meow. Really, really neatly done, Debbie. Amazing. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, I very much enjoyed this. The image when I saw it was like, okay, cool. Now that is the Halloween. That's Halloween for me. The black cat, right? And not just the black cat, but this cat is electrifying. And it's like this reads like a recipe for Halloween. You know, first you've got the green, horrible green, and then you throw in the specks of insect legs bubbling and gurgling, and then one last ingredient for Halloween, the cat's meow. How true is that? My dear, you caught this and you tapped into this and you pegged it right on. Excellent job.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely wonderfully done, Deb. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Oh, bubble, toil and trouble. here's my favorite line, if I can find it again. Nothing too gory. That's in the author's notes.
Yes.
That comes a contest rule, nothing too gory. Well, I admit there's no blood in here, but I think it comes awfully close. It's kind of stretching the rule there.
This is yeah, just, I like to go just beyond that.
And I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Thank you.
And add your thoughts.
Oh, it was enjoyable, Pom. You know, the bubbling and gurgling almost in unison. And you look at the photo, and it just goes so well with the poem. You know, she has it down to a T for your imagination. And even not even having the cat there and reading that, you could see that in your mind. Of mm-hmm. because of so many metaphors and meanings into this, right? I enjoyed it a lot. It was a fun poem.
Thank you, Ed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Debbie, for sharing, and Miriam for sharing, and Ed for putting that poem up there. You guys are just amazing. And for being here every time. We just so enjoy your presence. And what will be our next write, Diane?
Okay, we're going back to our contest writes. Well, I mean, they're all our contest writes, but we stepped off for the host there for a bit. Now we're going to read Blaming It on the Imaginary Friend by Rick Six. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. Okay, Blaming It on the Imaginary Friend. Let me get this straight, Jimmy. I broke the goldfish bowl. I ate all the mac and cheese out of the fridge. And now I scribbled with crayons all over your bedroom wall. Imaginary friends are fine, buddy, but your mom's about ready to ship you off to the Foreign Legion.
Oh, my gracious. Ricky, really, he, you know, he cracks me up every time with his humor. Oh, my gracious. So clever, so witty. What did you think, Ed?
Well, like I told him, I said, this kind of reminds me of myself as a young kid and doing all these mischief things and saying someone else did it or just didn't know what happened. I didn't do it. I don't know where it came from, you know, and it's something that I think a lot of kids have done at one time. And it's so true with a little comedy in there. And it was enjoyable read. And I liked it a lot because it kind of brings back good memories.
Absolutely. I'd blame everything on my brother. I'd always get him in trouble. What did you think, Debbie?
I think Jimmy was my imaginary friend as well. But very, very fun, very enjoyable. To ship you off to the Foreign Legion, that right there said it all. Great ride. I mean, it was very, very fun. Very fun to read and hear. Great job.
Absolutely. Oh, man, it's fun to laugh a little bit. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, I don't remember ever scribbling on the wall with crayons, but what I do remember is ripping little tiny strips of wallpaper off the wall.
Oh, that's worse.
And I especially did it when I was told to sit on the stairs as punishment for whatever I had done before. Then I would start. You know, I think of myself as having been a very good child, but that perhaps was not very good. That's fun. I really enjoy it, and I hope hope the kid didn't really get sent off to the Foreign Legion.
And Diane, your thoughts, my dear?
Well, what a fun break. What a nice break in the middle of all these maggots fighting us up and everything. What a break from all that and a laugh that comes out. Because it's true. I often speak about writers need to speak their truth. And this is truth. And it's nostalgic truth. It brings us all back to where we grew up. I remember I didn't break the goldfish bowl, but I broke my mom's china teacup, and then I took it and put it in the boys' room on their bed so that they would get in trouble. I remember this from being a kid. I again, like Miriam, I didn't scribble with crayons on the bedroom wall, but I did everything else. And my mom, she would tell me she wasn't going to ship me off to the Foreign Legion. She was going to slap me into yesterday. And I so many times would, you know, this really took me back to my truth as a kid. And it really was well done. Great job, Rick.
Absolutely. And what will be our next write, Diane?
Well, up next and probably up last, or let me see here. Where am I? I kind of got lost in my blaming it on the imaginary friend. There we go. Empty darkness. Okay. We are putting up Empty Darkness by Joseph Jr. And Naomi, would you give that one a read as our final?
Absolutely. Empty Darkness. The light is going, the light is going, the dark begins. Beneath my bed, I hear screams, scratching floors, creaking doors, tales of the ghouls and ghosts. Pumpkins shaped like monsters and witches are flying high. Tables are set and candy for free, waking the dead just on three. Graveyards dark, just waiting for more to come and party. So you see, in death we do have fun just as much as you. And poem. This is an awesome write. What did you think, Ed?
Oh, it was a nice description and portrayal. Every stanza has a unique take on Halloween. And again, this was one of the happy writes actually for a Halloween night. You know, pumpkin shaped like monsters and witches are flying high. Tables are set and candy for free, waking the dead just on three. That was nice. That was fun. That was a fun read, and I enjoyed that, and you did a great job reading it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, here's another poem about dead people having fun. Like the skeletons and all that were jumping out at people and saying peekaboo. I think it's a really nice idea. I mean, whether you believe in an afterlife or not, it's just fun to think about that. And the first verse is so ruled, so real. That really sounds like parts of my childhood where I'd be lying in bed and seeing dead people or whatever across the room, and then when I woke up in the morning, I would see that it was clothes hanging on a hook on the closet. So we've got some real childhood fear in here, and then everything just turns out so good. Even the dead people are having fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Debbie, a quick few words. Oh boy, we have just a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds left.
I like that, you know, having fun just as much as you, you know, in life as in death, we will all have fun. And so I really enjoyed this. Great write.
Absolutely. And Diane?
Well said, Debbie, and I agree with that.
excellent. The empty darkness, it says it all, but it's not empty darkness. It's fun. And what better way to end the show with the three words that spells Halloween better than anything? Candy for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'd like to thank Ed, of course, and you, Diane, for being my wonderful co-host tonight. I'd like to thank especially Pam in the background for everything that she does. And, thank you, Debbie and Miriam, for phoning in all the time, hanging out with us. You guys are so much fun. And, for everybody that wrote for the show, and, there'll be quite a few carryovers. I'll notify people on which show they'll be up on. I'll try to get to them. And, happy Halloween, everybody, and have a good night.
Happy Halloween.
Good night, everyone.
Fun.